We are going to talk nutrition and dieting in particular. Yonetsi, morning, welcome.
Good morning, Wayne.
And fad diets, we touched on it earlier this week with the Heart and Stroke Foundation. They chatted about various dangers of fad diets. But, you know, you as a nutritionist as well, first of all, how do we identify a fad diet? And how do we know whether, look, this is really going to work for me in the long run, or this is going to maybe drop a few kgs and then it's all going to come back again?
Yes. So I think if you think about a fad diet, normally or generally it promises you this massive amount of weight loss in a very short time. And generally speaking, the average that they promise to lose would give or take be like 2 pounds, more than 2 pounds, which is about 45 kilograms that you can lose in a week. Generally, there's a lot of rigid rules to this diet, or people will promote something that you must buy the book or the product that will assist you in losing this five kilograms or pounds that you want to lose. And then there's generally very restrictive or extremities about this. So maybe like excluding certain food groups or cutting out this, or putting foods in good and bad categories. So this is good food, this is bad food. So that's sort of the things that generally will tell you that it's maybe not so ideal for you. Mm-hmm. And also that it's not very scientifically based. And I think the negative thing about something like a fad diet, sometimes they are quite effective in a way, because remember, when you start excluding food groups or reducing calorie intake, you will lose the weight.
Yeah.
But the problem with these diets are that what happens after you've lost that weight? There's no sort of maintenance plan when starting a fad diet. So that's sort of when the roller coaster effect starts happening again, because you sort of then go back to some of the old habits that actually made you gain the weight over years. And there's not really a helping hand to help you maintain the weight that you have lost after you've started this sort of fad diet.
Right. So part of what you've got to look out for is what happens afterwards. How do we, because it's all about maintenance at the end of the day. You know, you can get rid of that weight in various ways, whether it's good for you or not. That's obviously the debate still, but how do you keep it away afterwards? Am I correct in saying that it's no good going on to diet X for, let's say it takes you, what, a month or maybe 2 months? I'm just using an example. And you stay away from your steaks and your lekker braaivleis and, you know, all the good things. And then 2 months later, okay, well, the diet is finished. My course is finished, whatever I was doing and using. And now we're going to no kan ons lekker braai. I think you're looking for trouble.
So, interestingly enough, successful weight loss can be defined as losing weight and keeping it off for at least 5 years. Okay. And I always like to use it as a little of a joke by saying, like, if I see a patient for weight loss, I know that we are only successful if I maybe see you six months later or a year later, and you still have that exact same weight, give or take, when you walked out of the consulting rooms when you were a successful weight loss candidate. That's really what, and also to keep that new number, so we call it sort of your weight point, your a natural set point for the body in terms of a good weight. You actually have to maintain that specific weight for give or take 6 months to put that as your new set natural number for the body to go back to. So that's just an interesting fact. So if we look at fad diets, unfortunately, they are generally very restrictive. So because they tell you to eliminate certain food groups, maybe, you then start craving those sort of foods that you are not allowed to eat. Also, we get the roller coaster weight loss that we are talking about. And you basically, you actually want a variety where fad diets generally are quite restrictive in terms of foods that you are allowed and not allowed to eat. And essentially, we really need a balance of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats to prevent basically the crave of the certain food stuff. Or it's actually more the nutrient that you are lacking because you are eliminating a certain type of food. That's really where the crave will come, because the body naturally needs those micronutrients that we will get from let's say complex carbohydrates, for instance. If we think about, there's many, many fad diets that tell you, oh, you are not allowed to eat carbohydrates, they make you gain weight. But essentially, those carbohydrates is the main source of glucose and fuel for our brain. And also the majority of our B vitamins actually comes from complex carbohydrates. And if we are active and working and growing, we actually need those carbohydrates. So if you start excluding them, the body will actually start craving various forms of carbohydrates, because if we don't fuel our body with carbs, the body is an amazing thing. It will actually use something like a fat source to generate carbohydrates, because our brain needs carbs to function.
Well, this was now leading me to my question, is where these diets, the ones that advocate exclusion, become so dangerous, is because they are actually telling you to exclude certain food groups that your body specifically needs to function. And if I remember correctly, when we've chatted in the past, your advice has always been on the right amounts of each one, as opposed to just cutting it out. Because you cut it out, as you say, your body is going to look for something else to replace it.
Yes, so many things, if you think, oh, I'm thinking this cabbage soup and grapefruit and this and this and that diet. In other words, you eat one specific thing for a very long time. And then obviously, because you are not consuming all the other nutrients, many of these fad diets will then tell you, well, buy this multivitamin because the reason why you need that multivitamin is because you – probably excluding 80% of the micronutrients that you need. So the bottom line, so, you know, some of these fad diets maybe do have their place, especially if we look at morbidly obese people, to sort of kickstart and motivate them. There are certain ways that we can actually do this, but it's not something that you can maintain for a very long time, because obviously it's not sustainable. You crave all of the stuff that you're excluding, and then we lack the micronutrients that we do need. So in the long run, it can lead to some micronutrient deficiencies. You can dip maybe 3 or 4 weeks, but then the maintenance really is the key. So what then do I do after I have maybe decided to kickstart my weight loss with so-called fad diet? That's really very important.
Would, if I can play devil's advocate for a moment, would one of these fad diets possibly be a good thing within reason? If, let's say, you're kind of looking for the motivation, you know you can do it, but you need a sign. And maybe by going on something that would knock the socks off, you kind of say, wow, you know, gee whiz, that wasn't so difficult. You know, I can actually do this. And then maybe from there you'll maybe exercise more discipline and look at something more sustainable in the long run. But maybe sometimes you just need something just to give you that motivation to get going if you are somebody who's struggling with their weight.
Yes, so I'm going to use a ketogenic diet as an example, because there's various variants, there's so many of them that's in the fad diet category. But the thing with a ketogenic diet really is this very carbohydrate restrictive. So on the principle of ketosis, you actually do lose weight quite quickly. But the problem is, so this you can do to kickstart weight loss for give or take 3 weeks. But after that, you should then go back to something that is more sustainable and something that you can maintain for future reference. Mm. And obviously, you need a professional person to guide you within this. The one thing that I just do want to mention about ketogenic diets, generally speaking, we can have quite a lot of animal product or high fat product with the ketogenic diet. So very little carbs. So we're talking about give or take 50 grams of carbohydrate a day, which is it's basically one slice of bread, a cup of milk, and I think then we probably give or take about 50 grams of carbs. Mm-hmm. And then it means nothing else, no fruits, no vegetables with carbohydrates. So you can see already that you will lack micronutrients there. But then with these ones, and I think if I just have to talk about talking about heart and your heart health and strokes, generally speaking, they are very high in saturated fats, and then the saturated fats actually causes platelet aggregation, causes high cholesterol, which then if you have a high blood pressure, this is really where it becomes dangerous, in the sense that your cholesterol might rise, your blood pressure might also be high because you have had a higher weight starting this whole process, and then heart attacks and strokes really becomes something that you should be weary about.
Right.
So choosing the right food groups and if you want to do this, maybe look at monounsaturated fatty acids, the carbs that you do eat, make them complex carbohydrates, try to take your carbohydrates that you are allowed and get them from your non-starchy vegetables, so that we can actually still sort of try and have a relatively healthy, balanced way of approaching this, and then slowly but surely adding carbohydrates into your diet again. I think what people have to remember is weight loss eventually happens because if you can get yourself into a negative calorie intake and a positive calorie output, then you will actually lose weight and it will be sustainable. So it's not always to say about that it's this specific food group that help you lose the weight. It's about you save the calories. And because you save the calories over a long period of time, that's really why you were able to lose the weight. So if we want to have sustainable weight loss, you have to keep on putting yourself into negative calorie intake, and then you will actually lose the weight. But then we have to be able to do it with the right amount of the right food groups and maybe the right percentages within your macronutrient groups. So if we talk about carbohydrates, fats, and proteins, that's really where we want to put the focus on. Fad diets, people should remember that it's really because you restricted your intake. It's not necessarily one specific food that was so amazing that helped you lose the weight in the end.
It's just that what the instruction said was don't eat this and don't eat that and don't eat the next thing.
Yes.
Not necessarily making sure that it's safe to do so. So a lot of foods exist because they are needed.
Exactly, they are needed.
And Anetsi, of course, tied into this whole process would be a little bit of exercise, because it's also about balance of energy in, energy out. So if you're taking in foods that have got energy that needs to be expelled somewhere, you need to go for a run, or you need to, go for a walk at least to just get rid of some of that energy that you've just consumed.
Yes, so activity is really, really important. We should aim to be at least active for 45 minutes to 60 minutes in a day, where you actually raise your heart rate, is what I want to say. So you should increase your heart rate for at least 45 to 60 minutes in a day. And I think these days where, unfortunately for us, many of us are office bound, so you have a day job where you're behind a desk, you're driving your car, then it's really hard to, and if I think about not being active and the amount of calories that you can consume, we're looking at about 5,000 kilojoules, which is not a lot of food. So then if you want to lose weight, being active helps a lot, because right. then at least you can get yourself into maybe a negative energy intake by the activity that you add within a day. That's why weight loss activity helps with weight loss, and it actually increases the amount of weight that you can lose in a week if you are actually active.
Right, right. So it's a case of eat less energy and get rid of more energy. That'll keep that balance. to make it very, very simplistic. And of course, you know, in all these examples, we are pretty much ignoring any medical conditions, you know, because there are obviously medical conditions that would cause weight gain and whatnot. We're talking about purely healthy people who are maybe just eating a little bit too much.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the wrong things.
For sure. So if I maybe can just conclude, if we have a look at what is the best ways then to lose weight, it's really you want to reduce the calories that you consume on a daily basis. And the choices that you make for yourself, you actually have to ask yourself, can I maybe do this for a lifetime? Is it balanced enough that I can do this every single day of my life? So I think then if you have a little bit of whole grains, some lean protein, fruit and vegetables, and maybe small regular meals, it's the better way, because if I have small regular meals and it's balanced, immediately I am reducing the cravings that will prevent you from binge eating. And I think key is it should not really feel like a diet. It should just be something that you are comfortable with on a daily basis, and then essentially will help you to get to that successful weight that will enable you to keep it off for a very long time. That's really, I think, good food choices, healthy habits, physical activities, and something that you then will be sustainable for you for a long factor of time. So I always say 80% of the time try and do the right thing, and then the 20% of the time that you maybe do whatever you want or whatever in your head is a sin or a bad food, just do those things. But eventually speaking, you will be able to be in a good, healthy, comfortable social place that's acceptable for you.
Right, right. And I think that's also that's one of the secrets, is what's acceptable to you. Because, you know, I think one of the biggest problems with the whole dieting industry is it's what the industry or what society says. And, I mean, you might have, let's say you've got a big bone structure, which means that you are a bigger person, doesn't necessarily mean that either you are fat, obese, or overweight for that matter, but you are just a bigger person. And as a friend of mine said once, tongue-in-cheek, and, you know, we don't want to make light of the subject, but he said as well that he says he's in shape. Round is a shape. So, but it depends on your body structure as well.
Yes, I think, unfortunately, fad diets gave many